on a trip to the moon. A Johnny King special on City Talk 105.9.
Hello and welcome to A Trip to the Moon, our Johnny King special here on City Talk 105.9. I'm Matthew Jones and this is our second of two shows looking back at the career of Tranmere's greatest manager. The Tranmere Supporters Trust have teamed up with the Former Players Foundation to fund a Johnny King statue which will stand outside Prenton Park, and there's a sold-out evening at Hume Hall in Port Sunlight this Thursday with a number of former players attending a ceremonial dinner there for Johnny King. We're joined in the studio by three legends of Tranmere. They are Ray Mathias, Eddie Bishop and Chris Malkin. But before we hear from them, let's just remind ourselves of some of Johnny King's greatest moments.
The ball is driven forward again. Here's Aldridge inside the penalty. Hits the post, it goes in. That's 100 goals for Tranmere Rovers for John Aldridge. And the man that Johnny King calls his gunslinger has done it again. Ball hit into the penalty area. Malkin goes for it, comes to Muir. Muir volleys, he scored! Ian Muir has scored for Tranmere Rovers. Just under 10 minutes gone. Starting challenge of Hughes. Muir with a cross goal. Tranmere Rovers go in front. And Jim Steele is the goal scorer. We've had 71 minutes of the Leyland Duff Cup final of 1990, and Tranmere Rovers supporters have gone absolutely wild here at Wembley. Jim Steele, it might be the most important goal of his career.
Three of Tranmere's greatest goals there under Johnny King's leadership, to the tune of the famous Rockford Files, which Eddie Bishop has just said, I remember that.
Yeah, it's what we used to run out to. I thought, do you still have it there?
I think so, yeah. They do.
When I go these days, I never get there before kick-off, so I don't know. We used to run out to the Rockford Files. I don't know where that came from. I don't know who inspired that, but it was a tune that we got quite familiar with and warm to it, really.
We'll talk about player nicknames there. We heard one for John Aldridge, and that was the Gunslinger. Kingy famously calling Aldo the Gunslinger for the number of goals that he did score for Tranmere. Did he have any nicknames for you?
I was just known as Bish. I think we all had a nickname amongst ourselves.
We had a nickname for him, to be fair. We called him the Riddler. That was Higgy, because he did used to speak in riddles at times. You know what I mean? He'd have all these analogies, and you're like, yeah, I'm not quite sure I got that, but I sort of know what you mean. Yeah. He'd always speak like that.
I'm looking at some of those famous quotes now, and we've got, Aldridge is like a pair of shoes in a shop. You look at them over and over again, and then you find you have enough money to buy them. Just incredible ways of putting words into things, wasn't there? As always, I can't promise anyone success, but I can promise them a trip to the moon. Or the most famous one, perhaps, is Tranmere will never be able to compete with Liverpool and Everton. They're like big liners, like the Queen Mary, but I see Tranmere as a deadly submarine.
Yeah, I've heard that one a few times. But I always, you might remember this as well, Chris and Ray, did you, when he used to talk about the sea voyage and getting to the beach. You know, making the beach would be like at the end of the season, and we've all got to pull together, we've all got to row like mad, all row the same way to get to that beach. He used to say that quite a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, and there'd be choppy waters along the way. Yeah. At this time of the year as well, at this time, sort of springtime, April come along, he'd say, you can start to see the birds coming with twigs. You know, there'd be birds coming with twigs coming to the boat, because that would signify that land was close by. Yeah. You know, the last, like, dozen games or so, last six games, he'd always be loud, wouldn't he?
Well, he used to say the 11 in the team, like, you know, they'd grab an oar, or 10, you know, 10 outfield players, they'd grab an oar each, and if you let the team down or drop your oar, you're letting everybody down, you know, and that, you said, and as you said, the lads were saying there, when the land gets a bit nearer, that's when you row a little bit harder, you know, and that was his terms, what he used to use, which were absolutely brilliant, you know. You know, them anecdotes, what you said there, were absolutely brilliant, you know, and it's something like the 10 green bottles as well, you know. There's only Johnny King is renowned for them things, you know.
Do you remember the squirrels, referring to like squirrels putting nuts in the cupboard for cup competitions? We're like, if we're in a set, like we went on quite a few decent cup runs, and he'd say, right, that's, we're squirrels now, we'll put them nuts in the cupboard, forget about them, and get back to rowing again.
You're rowing on a tree at times.
It's that kind of way with words, though, that endeared him so much to the Tranmere fans and players, though.
Yeah.
I think nobody ever seen Johnny King ruffled, you know. I think he's very calm, I never heard him shout.
No,
certainly.
Heard him scream. Stories of managers, and probably all played under managers where they've throwing things about and stuff like that. You know, the gaffer was never like that. So pretty calm. Having said that, we've never lost many games the times we were there, so we never really had the chance to lose. Was cool, I suppose.
I think he was quite cool
and calculated in his assessments at half time of what was going wrong, and more often than not, if anything was going wrong, he did the right thing to put it right.
I think anything more, the look on his face, really. Yeah. You know, players knew when he was angry. I think that was it, you know. And I think an angry Johnny King, you could really see, you know. And it was a look what he glared at you, you know. And I think that was so good in his nature, you know, sort of thing. But it, you know, as I say, never shouted at me. I think to get the best out of his players, he encouraged them more. He shouted more than shouted, you know. And I think, as Eddie said before, the slap on the back was unbelievable. It was one of them which you, if it didn't get you going, then you know you think I'm going to get somebody else when I get outside on that pitch, you know, get my own backs. But that was the way he was, and he used to do it to everybody.
If I was at sea, there'd be plenty of rations of rum. You know, we're a happy ship, there's no doubt about it. We might have the skull and crossbones flying up above, but they've plundered well today. You know, they've gone in and they've worked hard, and at the end of the day, the cutlasses were really going in their midfield. I was pleased with all the players.
Just that way with words, isn't it?
I think we could go on about some tales, you know, and that. And I remember I used to train at Arrow Park years ago, and John was a player, and that. And the lads coming back from Arrow Park to the ground, you know, to get in the ground and have a shower and get done and that. And it was a big race, you know, and he used to come up Woodchurch Road. And I remember John on one occasion, I shouldn't be saying this, Marion would probably go absolutely ballistic, but he was coming along and he's racing one of the other lads. And next minute, he's gone on the other side of the road to go round this bollard in the centre of the road to overtake this other player, you know, and get in front of him. But, I mean, that's how Johnny King, how much he wanted to win and achieve things, you know, that was in his nature.
I can remember, we all had the utmost respect for him, and he demanded respect as well, you know, being a manager. And I remember one of my first training sessions, again, coming from non-league, I think we were indoors in a gym somewhere. I can't exactly remember where it was. We were playing five-a-side. And he used to join in now and again. I think he might have been in goal this particular session. And he's got the ball, and he's looking to roll it out to somebody. And me being new in it, I hadn't really called it any manager's boss or anything like that. And I just called him Kingy. Kingy! And asking for Kingy! And he stopped, pulled under his arm, walked over to me and went, just shook his head and went, boss. Call me boss. That was it. Yeah. He'd let you know who was boss, and I think we all had the utmost respect for him.
You mentioned you came from non-league there. Chris, you were signed from non-league. Dave Higgins signed from non-league. He had a way of signing players who then went on to be really successful in the Football League, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the team that he put together, 1987, he did base it on a really strong backbone. You know, you got like Eric Nixon in, you know, Jim Steele up front, Jim Harvey in the middle. But around these players were, you know, solid lads who he'd, you know, picked up from the non-league. You know, Higgy, Dave Martindale, myself, Sean Garnett. You know, he also sort of moulded them all, Eddie Bish. Mm-hmm. You know, he moulded us and he created that team spirit, really. That was one of the things he nurtured most was that team spirit. You know, he'd like us to go out together. He'd like us to have that extra man.
Was Mark McCarrick another one? Did he?
Yeah,
he had a spell with Birmingham, but he tested it.
But he loved that that feeling of team spirit and his boys around him and his lieutenants with his backroom staff. And you know, he was proud of us. You know, he'd always like to take us away together, a bit of sun at the end of the season. But you know, that would signify his sort of his reward to us was, you know, getting away together, and that would carry on the next season because, you know, we'd be talking about things and it would nurture that sort of team spirit.
Magaluf, it was where you went to, wasn't it?
Yeah. Magaluf. Well, that was
great times.
There was one year as well. He actually arranged a game against the waiters. Bish played game. That was the first year, and Bish was, you know, slide tackling on this shale pit. You know what I mean? You couldn't even let that go.
Yeah, that was it. I think we just thought it as a bit of a week's drinking session, to be fair. And he'd organised a game for us to play out there, and he took it quite seriously, didn't he?
We had a change of where we went. We went every year religiously. We went to Magaluf, and for some reason we couldn't get Magaluf. You know, the all the places being taken, the hotels and that. So we ended up getting 4 days in Tenerife, and when we got there, it was absolutely roasting. I mean, even I got burnt on the first day, so that was saying something, you know. But I remember going to this bar, like, and we'd gone from one bar around the hotel, and we'd gone to this other one along by the beach, not far from the beach. And we're all sat down drinking away and having a good laugh and a joke and that. And we decided then, around about 6 o'clock, we'd been on it quite a long time, and we're all walking up, and we used to, walking along, Kingy, grabby, you know, and that, messing about and that. And once he got hold of you, you couldn't move. So he's got you in a headlock walking along and that. But once he let go, I remember walking with him, and he's walking along, and he happened to stagger. And when he staggered, he fell down this hill. And at the bottom of the hill was a load of bushes, rose bushes and all that. And he fell right in these rose bushes. And he come out, and there was all these scratches all over his face, all over his body. And he says, "Oh, blimey, I'm going to have to make some excuse here now to marry him when I get back." And he said, "I know." He says, later on in the day, he says, "I'll say I went for a swim, and the tide took me into the rocks and hit me head against the rocks and all that." But absolutely brilliant. But, everybody really had a good time. And I'll never forget, John, we pulled him up the hill from that, you know, and it was a horrible. It could have been nasty, you know, because it wasn't a big hill when he went down, but it was about 6 foot, you know, down on a slope and that. And he's gone into these rose bushes, and it could have been more serious.
The only year we didn't go away, the following year, that following season, we didn't have any success. We ended up mid-table. But if you go through, like, from 1987, we were always either involved in a really good cup run or involved in a promotion or in the playoffs. But the year after the 91 playoff win, because that was June the 1st. We played the last game was June the 1st, in 1991. So it was too late in the season, really. So we didn't go anywhere after that. And anyway, the next season, we only ended up sort of mid-table. So
Moggsy were in a higher division, though.
We were, yeah. But Moggsy was like, "Oh, that's because we didn't go away to Magaluf last year, Gaffer." So the next year we went again, and we ended up in the playoffs.
Well, we've just got a couple of minutes left on this part. We'll touch on you, Chris, now, because you've just opened a new physiotherapy clinic in Heswell, haven't you? And Johnny opened it for you.
Oh, yeah, that was... I was so proud that you came over to see me, because I haven't seen him for, 10, 15 years. And I got in touch with Steve Hothersall, and Joe asked him if he could get in touch with Johnny King. And anyway, he obliged and came along and cut the ribbon to my new physio clinic. So, and just to see him, my first reaction was just to give him a hug. It wasn't, that was always like, he was really like a father figure, really, because he nurtured you, and he was such a nice guy. So I just give him a hug, and, there's a few nice pictures in the Echo. That was just so nice to see him again. And I'm made up that having this meal for him, in tribute of him. There should be a statue outside Prenton Park.
Well, we'll touch on the meal in part three of the show. That's all we've got time for on part one. But don't go anywhere, because after the break, we'll be speaking to former Tranmere goalkeeper Eric Nixon.
City Talk 105.9, celebrating Johnny King's magical Tranmere career.
Welcome back to our tribute show to Tranmere's greatest ever manager, Johnny King, on City Talk 105.9. I'm Matthew Jones, and we'll be hearing some more shortly from Rovers legends Ray Mathias, Chris Malkin and Eddie Bishop, who are here with me in the studio. But firstly, let's catch up with former Rovers keeper Eric Nixon. He made hundreds of appearances for the club, won two promotions with them, and also the Leyland Daft Trophy, of course, in 1990. Well, Eric, all those Wembley appearances, what was it like? It must have been a great experience.
Well, it's always a fantastic experience to be to go and play at Wembley, isn't it? But especially under a man such as Johnny King, who had the knack of finding players that people had thought had not done the job in a football league, gelling them together and creating, obviously, for 10 years, a magnificent football team that beat all in sight, if I'm honest with you.
Was he the greatest manager you played under, do you think?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, it was fantastic. As I say, he had a knack of sort of getting people that people thought that had had the sell-by date and then bringing them forward and then gelling them, such as Jimmy Harvey, Jim Steele, you know, Steve Cooper's obviously come from Barnes. He scored some tremendous goals. God rest his soul. He's passed away since, but he was a fantastic player for us. All these players, Ian Muir, John Aldridge, Pat Nevin, you know, and the unsung heroes like Dave Higgins, Steve Vickers, Mark McCarrick, Stevie Mungall, Martin Bale. You can name them, you know, Eddie Bishop, Dave Higgins. All these people played their own part in their own special way.
It really was, as you say, a special time for play to play for Tranmere, and so many great names there that are now associated with the club. And you think any of them now would get into today's team, wouldn't they?
I'd like to think so. I mean, obviously, we have a special way of playing. He always played three at the back with, obviously, 5-3 midfield. But, you know, we were always on an attacking team with wing-backs that got forward into areas that other people didn't want us to get at. And he was comfortable in the fact that he had the spine down the middle, such as myself, Jimmy Harvey, Jim Steele in the middle, and we could always pick off one or two opponents. And then, obviously, later on in the career, you know, we had the Muries, all those that could score goals when needed. But I'd like to think he'd get into the team today. I mean, you've got to think about we stayed in that first division for a good 6-7 years.
What was Johnny like to play under as a manager then?
No nonsense. Obviously, he didn't suffer fools. If he didn't do the job, obviously, he didn't get the job done. So if he didn't do the job for him, they'd bring someone in that could do the job for him. But it's just a case of let you go and play, let you go and assess yourself and express yourself and use your experience amongst a great staff and amongst a great squad to nurture the team as such.
And he had such a fantastic way with words as well, didn't he? The way he always painted a picture in your head with when he described a situation or what he wanted to happen.
Everybody's aware of his, you know, I mean, the things he used to say to me as captain. We used to go into the office and talk about different things, about Kurt Douglas dancing on the bow of the ship and dancing on the oars. If somebody pulled an oar away, we've all had it. So it's just, you know, and the squiddle in the cupboard and the spiral landing on the bow of the ship, all these, and the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. All these terminologies, all these stories that he used to say to us, obviously we made sure that one or two people found them out, but he was a special, special manager.
What was your favourite kind of saying then that he came up with to you or when he took you into his office?
Yeah. I mean, the one that springs to mind is Sean Garnett went in for the away drives at one stage and just sat Sean down and he said, basically, Sean, he says, you're coming for away drives, you've been in the team for about 4 or 5 games and all of a sudden you come in. It might have been more games than that, but he said, basically, you're a sunflower. If I just keep watering you, you'll grow nice and big. And then when you come back, you'll be a sunflower. Come back to me for another contract. Little anecdotes like that made everybody laugh.
It's just that kind of thing that you don't get in a manager these days, isn't it?
Don't think you're allowed to these days, are you? With all due respect, I don't think you're allowed to be express yourself. I don't think you're allowed to be a character as such. And he was certainly a character, baking cakes and putting them in the cupboard and bringing them out when needed and all these things, all these sayings he used to have. But he gained respect through different ways in our team because we had players in our team that had obviously been and seen and done. And we played at the highest level for over 10 years. The fans really enjoyed his company. The fans really obviously going to show their appreciation next week when he has the Johnny King dinner. But he was second to none, you know. I mean, the club themselves, I don't think they've gone from strength to strength. I don't think they've done themselves any favours over the last 10 years since, obviously, he's not been at the club.
You say there how he had that great bond with the fans. What do you think it was that made him so special to them? I mean, other than the obvious success?
Well, he came from Northwich, Victoria. Came from Carnarvon Town, you know, Carnarvon Town. He brought people with him that had been with him through their careers, you know, non-league players, non-league managers, coaches. He had an affiliation with the fans. He told them the truth. He never told them lies. And he brought success to the club. And the fact that he brought success to the club on a shoestring budget, I mean, I was at one stage, I was the record signing for Man City at £60,000. I don't think you'd think about that this day and age, would you? But whichever player he brought through the door, he made sure he got his money's worth and the fans got their money's worth. And they appreciated him and the fans, and they appreciated the fans.
So what was it like for you playing at that time and captaining the side at Wembley?
Well, it's fantastic for me because obviously I'd had a good career at Man City. I'd left Man City to come to Tranmere. And the only reason I came to Man City, to Tranmere, was because of Johnny King. He sold the club to me. He sold the club to the family. Since then, I've been there 25, 26 years. And I knew that I had a point to prove to one or two fans and one or two people that had written me off at 26, 27 years old. And I feel as though through my career I had expressed myself and had quite a good career. And then, you know, one or two people decided that I wasn't for them. But Johnny King said, yeah, we'll take him on board. And I think I proved him right at the end of the day. He got his well worth £60,000 worth, as did most of the players that he brought on board.
Well, as you say, you were at Manchester City and you're a lifelong Manchester City fan. So how did Johnny sell Tranmere Rovers to you?
He basically said, obviously, we were in the fourth division. We were going to the Mercantile Credit. He said that Peter Johnson had come on board and there was a lot of money getting invested into the club. He was bringing one or two decent players in, with all due respect to the players that were there. I think one or two are past the sell-by date, as I say, with all due respect to them. And I feel as though he brought one or two players with a bit more quality that took us through the leagues. But we consolidated going through the leagues as well and made sure we stayed. And we went from strength to strength. And when you think about it, we missed out on the Premiership 3 years running. And I think a little bit more money invested at the time might have seen us go through all the way. But, you know, was it 89, 19, 1991, 4-5 Wembley Cup finals. The fans came down, the buses came around the ground full of fans. It was absolutely magnificent times. And I think people are living off them memories at this moment in time.
They certainly are, and the club have named a stand after Johnny, obviously, 10 years ago. Now the Supporters Trust are building this statue for him. How big a tribute is that?
It's a fantastic tribute, isn't it? It's a fantastic tribute to a fantastic man that deserves every accolade he gets. And obviously, Steve Roper, who's in charge of the Players Foundation, has got this dinner going next week. So we're looking forward to going next Thursday to Hume Hall and honouring Johnny King. It's well overdue in my favour. We're hoping trying to get him there. But we'll see what his family say about that.
Yeah, you mentioned the dinner there. How great an evening is that going to be? Because there's going to be so many of your ex-teammates there, aren't there?
Everybody's looking forward to it. Everybody's looking forward to meeting each other. Everybody's looking forward to honouring Johnny King, the greatest manager the club I've ever had, as far as I'm concerned. Best manager I've had. Obviously won most things at the club. But it's about the fans as well. It's about the fans coming to pay homage to a fellow. It's put the club on the map at the time, and I think the likes of people like Johnny King, you know, I mean, even Kenny Jones, who's working for the council these days, you know, he played his part. He played with Johnny King through Norfolk, Victoria and Carnarvon Town. You know, these people don't get their accolades, so I think next week when they come, they'll go and enjoy the week, and they'll enjoy the time of the night as much as the fans will. The fans are looking forward to it, I'm sure.
It shows how much Johnny means to not only the fans and the players as well, as to how quickly the meal sold out, because it was just a matter of days, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been waiting for this sort of thing to happen. You know, I mean, everybody lives on the memories, but it's over 20 years ago now, and I think the lads are looking forward to it. I'm certainly looking forward to going meeting one or two of the lads that I've not seen for 20 years. And I know one or two of them are going, the likes of Dave Higgins and Jimmy Harvey, Ian Muir. All these players are going to go. Well, obviously, we're 20 years older and 20 years greyer, but the memories are still there. And it's nice to relive the Wembley moments. I mean, even though we've been to Wembley Chesterfield, tongue-in-cheek, I've had a bit of laugh with the lads about me going to Wembley and our side winning one or two things. But we'll go and enjoy that next week, and we'll pay homage to a fantastic manager.
And obviously, not a bad five-a-side team if you've got all those players back together, even now.
I don't think so. I'm not with our knees and hips anymore. I don't think we have to do any more about that. But no, as you say, I mean, they even looked at the Masters, didn't they? You know, with the likes of Kenny Irons and Stuart Barlow and Eddie Bishop. So that was a fantastic accolade team as well.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for joining me. Best of luck, well, in your promotion race as well with Chesterfield this season.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks very much. And fantastic to all the Tranmere fans, and get behind the team. They're doing really well. Thank you.
We'll see you at the meal as well on Thursday night.
Top man.
Thank you, Eric.
Bye-bye.
Former Tranmere goalkeeper Eric Nixon there joining us on A Trip to the Moon, our tribute show to Tranmere's greatest ever manager, Johnny King. Well, don't go anywhere, because we'll shortly be hearing some more from Rovers legends Chris Malkin, Ray Mathias and Eddie Bishop, who are with me in the studio.
On A Trip to the Moon, a Johnny King special on City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to the final part of our Johnny King special, A Trip to the Moon, celebrating the career of Johnny King, Tranmere's greatest ever manager. The Supporters Trust and former Players Foundation having a dinner in his honour at Port Sunlight's Hume Hall this week. And believe you me, when tickets went on sale, they sold very, very quickly for that event. Johnny had 670 games in charge of Tranmere, 261 of them he eventually won. And of course, he won three promotions with the club as well. Undoubtedly the greatest manager Tranmere has had to date. Although Ray Mathias is in the studio with us, you were a manager as well, and you were pretty successful in your time at Tranmere.
Yeah, I think John and I are the only ones managers to achieve 80 points in a season, you know, which is unbelievable. Incredible, you know, to do that, you know, and not... I think when I was there, we never made the playoffs, but, you know, the teams in the division then was high scoring, well, Wigan, high spending, sorry. Queen's Park Rangers, Cardiff City, I think they were the ones who did us for it. But, you know, it just shows you, you know, I think when the the 3-point system started, Johnny King was probably the first one to achieve that, you know, and went on his success at the football club.
Not a bad accolade. We're going to hear some more now from Johnny King from our archives, and this is him on reaching the 1991 playoff final, which, of course, our guest in the studio, Chris Malkin, famously scored in.
It's another one. It's another great honour, you know, to know that the lads are going to walk out at Wembley again. Similar to last year, in fact, the same as last year. Just hope, even if we lose one, I don't want to lose this promotion one, because the fans deserve it, the players deserve it, and just hopefully, you know, we can do it for the people on the Whittle and get second division football here.
Obviously, you gave them a message to go out and do certain things. Did they do everything to the letter tonight?
Well, they've done, and they knew that. They're going to have to battle. They're going to, I mean, the words were, come on, you've got them on the edge of the cliff. Now, come on, sweep them off. We have to sweep them now, and let's take them. You go and make it happen. In finals like that, you there's no other way. There's never pure football played. It's a matter of playing football when you can and doing the right things. Doing the right things, defending, and we did. I thought we defended well with quality. And of course, the goal, when it did come, it was deservedly so, because I thought we created one or two nice clear-cut openings tonight.
More classic Kingy there.
Yeah. Sweep them off the edge of the cliff. Brilliant.
I think when you look, you know, when the things John's been through, you know, and that to stay in football, you know, he went managing at Carnarvon, Town, Northwich, Vix, and his success, you know, both of them clubs, I think he went to the third round of the FA Cup.
He took Northwich, you know, and took them, right? Well, yeah.
He took Northwich, Vix to Wembley as well, you know, so it was a fantastic achievement by a fella. I'll never forget when John went out of football professionally and started doing Carnarvon, he actually set himself up doing a wind around, and it just showed, you know, he made sure that he kept his football going. He kept on managing Carnarvon Town and Northwich at different times, you know, obviously. But he went out every morning. He used to do his winders on the Upton round Upton Way. But it's, you know, that was Johnny King.
I can remember. I was round the non-league scene at that time when he took over Carnarvon. He'd left Northwich, but we are away for a couple of months, and then the Carnarvon job came up and he took it. And I remember Kenny Jones telling me he took this job, and the first game he got beat 10-0. That's how bad of a job it was when he first went in there. Within a year or so, as Ray was saying, I think they were playing the first round of the FA Cup. Huh? I think he played York in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
I remember
him once when he wasn't doing anything at all, and he was at, I can't remember whether it was Carnarvon, I think it was Carnarvon, he had a big striker who, I used to talk to him, and he said, I've got this...
Austin Salmon.
Austin Salmon, yeah, that's his name, and he used to say, Ray, I've got this lad, he says, he's good, he's got everything, all the attributes and that, what he hasn't got is a great touch, he says, I'm going down the park to work him. And he had half a dozen balls in it, put in his boots, and off he'd go down the park and meet this lad, pick him up and take him down to Adder Park or whatever, and do some training with him and coaching him, working on his touch. That's how dedicated a person he is, you know, to really get the best out of the players what he had at his disposal. Absolutely fantastic attitude.
Well, we've got 10 minutes left on the show, so we're just going to touch on the meal now. Ray, I believe you're not going, but Eddie and Chris, you're both going to be in attendance?
Yeah, looking forward to on the 10th of April. As we were saying before, it's a worthwhile event to try and raise money for this statue that's been made. I think if the statue's already been made, it's just a case of getting it paid for, isn't it? I think the sculptor's Tom Murphy, is it?
It is, yeah.
The lad who did Bill Shankly.
Yeah.
I think he did the Billy Fiori one as well on the Pierhead. So, yeah, looking forward to it. It'd be nice to see a few old friends again. And as we say, it's going to be it'd be amazing if we can get that statue outside the ground, which it should be, really.
I mean, they could have sold out three times over, really, you know, with this meal. I'm not sure whether they thought it wasn't going to be that well attended, but definitely there's been so much interest over it. And it's just, you know, it shows the respect that everyone feels for Johnny King, you know, and the love, really, for him.
I think when, you know, years ago when the open top bus went round the town, you know, and that the thousands of supporters come out, you know, and I'm sure they remember. That's what it comes from, you know, Johnny King, really. You know, he brought that to the town, you know, and again, I'm sure that the fans remember him for that, you know, and I think that's why they've come out in the numbers at this present time, you know, for the success what he had.
We're going to ask you now then for your favourite Johnny King memories or stories that you can tell us.
Well, we've touched on quite a few funny stories, and you know, you're probably going to hear a few more. But what one that sticks out in my mind isn't a funny story, but probably is a measure of the man, really, for me personally anyway. I was playing away at Grimsby, and I had a bad injury. I'd split my lip wide open, and they did the best what they could do for me at Grimsby, sort of partially stitched it up. But I had to come back and go to Arrow Park Hospital. And it's after midnight, it's getting late on into the early hours in the morning, and I wasn't sure I was going to get there. And the gaffer said, "Don't worry, son, I'll take you." So he took me to Arrow Park Hospital, sat with me throughout the whole hour, 2 hours I was there getting stitched up, just talking football, just talking about the previous game and the next game coming up. Then on top of that, he drove me back home to Runcorn, where I lived as well. And so you're going on for 3 out of 3 in the morning. This is after a midweek game, and he just sat with me the whole night through. I thought that sums him up for me.
Well, in terms of one of my stories, it's the way, you know, Kingy describes things. He always paints a picture, you know, in your head. So, you know, he gets his point across by telling a story. So, when I first came to the club, I didn't really care what contract I had. You know, I was out of the bank and I was like, yeah, I'm playing football. But as you get more experience and you start playing a few more games, you know, you go in and you want a piece of the action, really. So here's me coming in at the end of the season. You know, Gaffer, I've done well for you this season, scored a few goals, played lots of games. And he says, you know, his way of putting me in my sort of place or telling me the pecking order was his description of how we dealt with the contract. He said, "Look, Chrissy, I've got a plate of food here. It's like a roast dinner, you know, and I've got this lovely roast dinner here. And the chicken breast, you know, that goes to Aldo. You know, he's the main man. That goes to Aldo. And the roasties, well, the roasties, they're good as well. But that goes to Nico. You know, you got Bish, you know, he gets some of the carrots. You got Kenny Irons, he gets the sprouts. And I was like, "Gaffer, yeah, I just want a bit of a chicken leg." You know what I mean? He said, "Chrissy, all we've got left for you is the gravy." So I just had to laugh. And I sort of said, "Oh, Gaffer, just give me what you think I'm worth." You know what I mean?
And wasn't there a story for you as well with painting a picture of a defence or attack being like a Western film as well?
Oh, that was more his defenders, you see. He used to talk about you'd never see a gunslinger. I know he called Aldo the gunslinger, but you'd never see a gunslinger turn his back and walk out of a saloon. You know, they'd walk in through the double doors, they'd get the guns out, shoot away. But then they'd back out of the door. Do you know what I mean? Back out of the door, back out of the double door, so they would never turn the back on play. And that's what he was saying about his, you know, his centre-halves or his defenders. He said, "Never turn your back on play. Always see, you know, always see the play in front of you." So it's like, you know, a gunslinger backing up outside, you know, backing up through the double doors. And that's, you know, it just paints a picture in your head without, you know, and you just see that, don't you?
I think there's Johnny King is, you know, his thoughts he had for his players, you know, the lads have been going on about it there, you know, and that, and different ways he describes people and that. And every year we went to Wembley for the long spells, didn't we? You know, and it was continuous. We had the bus going down the town, and then we used to have a do after upstairs in the club, you know, and that. I remember getting away, you know, and his concerns for everybody was so important to him. And I think on one occasion I've left a little bit early. I don't know what happened. Maybe I had enough or wanted to get home. Anyway, I've got home, like, and then next minute the phone goes. "Mathiago, are you home?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "What are you doing there?" I says, "Oh, just whatever had happened," and explained to him. And he says, "Get yourself down here. Everybody's missing you. I'm missing you. Everybody's missing you. Get down here." So off we went back down again and finished the night off. But that's what he was, you know. That's what Johnny King, his thoughts for his players, his thoughts for his staff was unbelievable, you know. And there wasn't only him, there was everybody else as well.
And you can tell by the way this meal sold out so quickly, as you said, Chris, how highly the fans think of him, and also the amount of ex-players attending, how they think of him as well.
Yeah, of course, yeah. In fact, Mark McCarrick, who lives in Portugal now, he was texting me not so long ago. He was trying his best to get over from Portugal to be there. You know, everybody wants a little piece of it if they can. It should be really good. I'm really looking forward to it.
What is it like as well to see all your old teammates who you had so much success with?
Well, it just brings all the memories back, doesn't it? It's all the memories back and all the taking the mickey out of each other. Probably all start again, you know.
You can just, you know, like seeing Bish today, I'm seeing him for a bit. We just carry on as you left off. Mm. You know, once that team bond never leaves you. And, you know, it was a real good bond, you know. And Kingy cemented that, really. If you look at any of the players like Murray, yeah. Moggsy, Bish, we'll all have a laugh on this evening. But
the whole group of players during the period I was there all stuck together. There was no little pockets of groups anywhere. It was just all team together. You know, even when the young lads started to come through, the likes of your Kenny Hines and Tony Thompson, they just blended in with us. I mean, just one big happy family. And that was all down to the way Kingy made that happen.
I think, you know, the competitiveness was everybody had it, you know. I remember one occasion when we're playing a game. I think it was a rugby pitch we played on for some reason, and Nicko was in goal, and Bish goes and challenges this ball with Nicko. Oh, and yeah. Next minute, it absolutely fists are flying and blooming, everything's flying. And next minute, you run away, two of them, get on with it. But that was the spirit. You know, everybody, yeah. Kingy says, hey, you two, get on with it. And off you run, the two of them.
That was
brilliant.
That, I think, was the Thursday before Wembley. Yeah. It was a couple of days before we went to Wembley. And it was just a kick of old training session, but I never knew when to stop, I suppose. And I just went in for this challenge with Nicko, harder than what I should have done. He laid into me. So I laid back into him, and we had a bit of a scrap, and we meet again afterwards. Big daft kid.
Well, guys, that is all we've got time for on our Johnny King special, A Trip to the Moon, a tribute to Johnny King, Tranmere's greatest ever manager, ahead of a statue that is being made in his honour and a tribute dinner to him at Port Sunlight's Hume Hall this week. Thank you very much to Chris Malkin, Eddie Bishop and Ray Mathias for joining me, Eric Nixon on the phone as always. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll leave you with one final thing from Johnny King.
Thank you very, very much. Tranmere supporters, we've been together a long time. I've enjoyed as a player and as a captain and as a manager and as a coach. I've enjoyed every single minute of it. And our success wouldn't have been what it was unless we had support like we've had in that wonderful years where we kept on tiptoeing to Wembley, which was nice. And again, the players who had under me were excellent. And you always say you're as good as you play. Between myself and the chairman, which was Peter Johnson at the time, I thought we dovetailed rather nicely, and it was the first time really that he had just let the manager get on with the job, and I thank him very much for not interfering. Thank you.
City Talk 105.9, celebrating Johnny King's magical Tranmere career.